ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ್ ಕೀ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಟುಡೇ, ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 11, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 24, ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ದ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ ಆಫ್ ಸಾಂಖ್ಯ. ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 28 ಫಾರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಟುಡೇ. ಕೈಂಡ್ಲಿ ರಿಪೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಮೀ. ಏವಂ ಅನ್ವಿಕ್ಷಮಾಣಸ್ಯ ಕಥಂ ವೈಕಲ್ಪಿಕೋ ಭ್ರಮಃ ಮನಸೋರಿದಿ ತಿಷ್ಠೇತ ವ್ಯೋಮ್ನಿ ವಾರ್ಕೋದಯೇ ತಮಃ. ಏವಂ ಅನ್ವಿಕ್ಷಮಾಣಸ್ಯ कथम वैकल्पिको भ्रमः मनसोरिति तिष्ठेत व्योम्नि वार्कोदये तमः एवं मन्विक्षमाणस्य कथं वैकल्पिको भ्रमः मनसोरिति तिष्ठेत व्योम्नि वार्कोदये तमः वैकल्पिको भ्रमः एवमन्विक्षमाणस्य कथं वैकल्पिको भ्रमः व्योम्नि वार्कोदये तमः माताजीस् प्लीज एवमन्विक्षमाणस्य कथं वैकल्पिको भ्रमः मनसोरिति तिष्ठेत व्योम्नि वार्कोदये तमः विल रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द हम्बल डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन एवं इन दिस वे अन्विक्षमाणस्य ऑफ वन हू इज केयरफुली एग्जामिनिंग ऑफ वन हू इज केयरफुली एग्जामिनिंग कथम हाउ वैकल्पिकः बेस्ड ऑन ड्युअलिटी भ्रमः इल्यूजन मनसः ऑफ हिज माइंड हृदि इन द हार्ट तिष्ठेत कैन रिमेन व्योम्नी इन द स्काय इव जस्ट एज अर्क ऑफ द सन उदये अपॉन द राइजिंग तमह डार्कनेस ट्रांसलेशन जस्ट एज द राइजिंग सन रिमूव्स द डार्कनेस ऑफ द स्काय सिमिलरली This scientific knowledge of cosmic annihilation removes all illusory duality from the mind of a serious student. Even if illusion somehow enters his heart, it cannot remain there. Purport. Just as the brilliant sun removes all darkness from the sky, a clear understanding of the knowledge spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava removes all ignorance concocted by the material mind. One will then no longer accept the material body as a self. Even if such illusion temporarily manifests within one's consciousness, it will be driven away by the resurgence of one's spiritual knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, welcome all the devotees to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. In today's translation, there is a mention of how the rising sun destroys the darkness in the sky. So if you look at the sun, it rises slowly. And how does it destroy the darkness? First, in the sky there is pitch darkness from the night. Then there is some light. Then the light keeps on increasing. So then the sky is lit, but you cannot see the form of the sun. After some time, as the light keeps on increasing, you see the first glimpse of the sun, just near the horizon. And after some time, the whole sun will rise and you can see a huge orange colored globe. Still, this is not the full glory of the sun. Till now it was hidden. Even after it has shown himself, it's not complete. The orange globe rises. As it rises, the original form of the sun is revealed. Actually, by the physical laws of refraction, the size of the sun near the horizon is larger than it is actually. The color of the sun is different from what it is actually. So near the horizon always you will see a bigger sun and orange in color, and as it rises more and more, it goes away from the horizon, then you will see a yellow colored sun and a little smaller in size. But the interesting thing is, all this time at least you can afford to look at the sun. Think about when the sun rises above your head at 12 noon. That is a time when the original glory in its fullness is revealed to us. So it's a small object, smaller than what it was near the horizon, and it is bright yellow, and it is so bright that you cannot even look at it. Very few people with their sunglasses probably can look at the sun. So this is the full glory of the sun. So although the sun is so glorious, it has so much light. Ashesha Teja, Brahma Samhita mentions, Yachakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Suramurtir Ashesha Teja. How much is the teja, how much is the heat and the light and the energy of the sun? Ashesha. It can never get complete. There is no situation when there is something shesha. So this is the sun, but look at how it manifests in this world. It manifests in a very sensitive way. And today in this shloka, the comparison is between the sun and the knowledge that was given by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. So Krishna himself is also a very sensitive person. In the Bhagavad Gita, he wants Arjun to follow the path which is the best path for him, the best auspicious path for Arjun. But how does he start? When Krishna starts speaking, he does not immediately jerk Arjun to the highest realization. First, he starts off by saying, "My dear Arjun, you are a warrior. So you should fight this war because this is your duty as per your varna and your ashram. So I have noted down some shlokas where Krishna speaks about this concept of duty as a reason to fight for Arjuna. So the shlokas are 2.27, 2.31, 2.33, 2.48, 3.8, 3.19, 3.35, 4.15, and then 18.47. So these are different shlokas where Krishna is saying, it's your duty, it's your duty. You are a warrior, you should fight. Then slowly, showing his sensitiveness, but also showing his compassion for Arjuna, he wants to raise him higher. So then he raises that argument to another level saying, Arjuna, you should fight, because actually it's your nature to fight. Duty is, you know, kind of difficult for a person to follow because it is fulfilling somebody else's expectation. Your authorities say something and that's your duty. It's a bit difficult. But when you are told, it's your nature. Ye toh aapka swabhav hai. Some people are addicted to sweets. So if they're not given a sweet, it becomes difficult for them. It's agitating. I've seen people sometimes when I'm traveling, you know, in the morning when they get up, they need that tea. And if they don't get that tea, it becomes really difficult for people. People get agitated when they don't get tea. So it's their swabhava. So Krishna is telling one level higher to Arjuna, okay, you may or may not accept the duty concept, but just think about it. How many times has it been easy for you to tolerate injustice? If somebody does something wrong to you, do you feel right just to keep quiet? How many times you have fought? One time there was a fight between Lord Shiva, who wanted to test Arjuna's skill as a hunter. And there was a wild boar in the forest. So Arjuna shot an arrow, he was making a lot of noise. And Lord Shiva also shot an arrow. And both arrows hit that boar, the mouth of the boar, at the same time. So Arjuna said, this is my arrow which killed the boar. And that hunter, actually it is Lord Shiva in disguise, this is mentioned in the Mahabharata. He said, no, this is my catch. I shot him first. And Arjuna is not willing to accept it. He could not even accept it. Both have shot at the same time. He said, no, I shot the arrow first. And there was a fight between Lord Shiva, the hunter, and Arjuna. So it is a swabhava. So Krishna raises that argument. I think you should fight because it is your swabhava. If you don't fight right now, when I'm telling you to, right now you're talking of big, big things like you'll renounce and you'll run away. After some time, somebody in this world will laugh on you. Dekho ye bhagya. He did not fight. That time your swabhava will impel you to fight. And that time I won't be around to guide you. So in the following shlokas, he raises the argument to nature level. So these shlokas are 3.33, 18.48, 18.59 and 18.60. And then the final reason which Krishna wants to give to Arjuna is that it is my desire. I want you to fight. So forget about duty, forget about a swabhava. I am your most well-wishing friend. Surudam sarvabhutanam. And on top of it, you are not even sarvabhuta, you are my friend. You have surrendered yourself to me. You are a well-wisher of me. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. As you reveal yourself to me, I reveal myself to you. I have so much love for you. I have so much high regard for you. I want you to become the hero of Mahabharata, not me. People will say, are wo to Krishna Bhagavan the Mahabharata mein isliye jeete. No, I want to deny that fact. I want you to be glorious. And for that, you'll have to become an instrument in my hands. So he raises the argument to the highest level, which is, just follow my desire. And these shlokas are 3.30, 8.7, 12.8, 18.57, and finally 18.66. So Krishna slowly is raising Arjuna to higher and higher reasons to fight. Fight he must. He has to fight. But what is the reason for fighting? So Krishna shows his sensitivity just like the rising sun. Srila Prabhupada in the beginning years was called by his followers as Swamiji. Swami is a very common word for somebody in the renounced order, especially sannyasi. Sometimes some of our brahmachari preachers also, when they are traveling on the road and somebody sees them, then they say, Swamiji, kaha ja raha hai? Maharaj, kaha ja raha hai? Something like that they say. So Prabhupada was also called Swamiji. After a good 5 or 6 years, one day on a morning walk, Prabhupada revealed to his followers, actually Swamiji is not a good word to refer to your spiritual master. Swamiji is a very general word that is used for anybody and everybody in saffron. Swami actually means controller of senses. And in today's times, all of us are aware, not everyone who is in a saffron cloth is actually able to control his or his senses.
So Prabhupada said, Swamiji is a very general word. Actually, we should glorify a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession by the words Vishnupad, Krishnapad, Prabhupad. And that is the day when it hit all the disciples. You know, we call him a Swamiji, we call him a Swamiji, we call the whole world, anybody in saffron as Swamiji. Some of them are cheats, some of them are not cheats, some of them are sincere, some of them are pretenders, whatever it is. And here we have somebody in the disciplic succession who is actually carrying the mission of the parampara in his own hands, transparently, and he's so humble that he never mentioned, this is not the right word for me. So today, at least when he has mentioned, we should call him as Prabhupada. And that is the day from which his disciples started calling him Prabhupada. One time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was with one of his friends, godbrothers. And this godbrother was taking Maharaj in a car and they had put up one bhajan. And as soon as the bhajan started, it was Swarup Damodar Prabhu, one of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's disciples, a very sweet singer. And when that bhajan is going on, this godbrother of Maharaj, he told Maharaj, he has a very sweet voice. I listen to all his bhajans. And Maharaj said, yes, I know him. Actually, he could have said, you know what, he is my disciple. Or somebody sometimes camouflages this and says, actually, he is my student. But Maharaj very plainly, he took him out of that conversation and said, yes, I also know him. Now the relationship between disciple and spiritual master is not just of knowing, is it not? One of our brahmachari preachers who often visits the West, one time was talking with some leaders in the West. And while speaking, he was saying, Radhanath Swami did this. And then the leaders there told this devotee, what did you say? So he didn't understand. He said, Radhanath Swami, he did this. What did you say? So then he understood, it's not so simple. There's something serious going on here. Then he said, okay, how, you tell me. So that leader in the West told him, you have to refer to your spiritual master as His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So then it hit him. Sometimes when we are close to somebody who's around, who's accessible, sometimes we may not realize this. Yes. So that is the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, and even Lord Krishna himself is very sensitive. They will never jerk us to the right conclusion, even if it is right. Because they understand the right knowledge, when given suddenly, sometimes causes trouble. Anyone of you, if somebody clicks a photograph of yours from very close by, and at flash, how many times, somebody has taken your photograph and said, Arey, achche se nahi aaya, fir se ek bar, once more. So two, three clicks, and then a good photograph comes. You know why? Because that flash, it blinds. But suddenly, there's normal light and then suddenly, click, and there's suddenly light. Yes? So light is knowledge. So similarly, when somebody who is our well-wisher, but if he suddenly pushes the highest knowledge on us, it is like that camera flash. And it causes a lot of pain to the eyes. So similarly, when suddenly a very high degree of knowledge is pushed on somebody without raising him gradually like Krishna does in the Gita, like Prabhupada did to his disciples, then sometimes it can cause problems to that person and it can cause problems to people around him. So such a person usually is referred to by the term fanatic. So who is a fanatic? Fanatic is a person who has half the knowledge but double the enthusiasm. And that's why sometimes we come across people who have a lot of enthusiasm, but they cannot actually understand what is going on. So, very interestingly, Dwarka Vasis, in one of their prayers to Lord Krishna, in the 11th chapter of first canto, mentioned this concept, that my dear Krishna, when you were not in Dwarka, and when you keep visiting your friends and relatives in Mathura and Vrindavan, and Hastinapur, we feel that our lives are bereft of the sun. We have these eyes, but we cannot see the world. Why? Because these eyes are dependent eyes. So, one of the shlokas in the Gita, it mentions that the sun and the moon are the two eyes of the Supreme Lord. So, unless the sun comes up, we cannot see. Our eyes are eyes, but these eyes are flesh eyes. So, unless the Supreme Lord opens his eye, the sun rises or the moon rises, we cannot see. So, very nicely, they're saying. What about us? Are we sensitive? In giving knowledge to others, are we sensitive? Many times, our concept is mostly based on modern phenomenon that are occurring around us. How does light come in a room around us? We are staying in a city like Bombay. So if there is darkness in a room, we go to the switch. We click the switch and immediately there is bright light. There is no sensitivity in this bulb. There is no sensitivity in the electric tube. Suddenly, zero or one, zero or one, that's digital life. One time I came across a devotee, he was playing the harmonium. And I sang Radha Madhav in another tune. He could not play. So then later I asked him, how could you know? I see you playing the harmonium. He said, no, I learned harmonium only for that one tune of Radha Madhav. I have come across mridanga players who sing or who play mridanga only for one tune of Hare Krishna. So later I asked him, why did you do that? He said, first thing is quick. Ye ek tune hai, bolo, Hare Krishna, whatever. And then you play mridanga. So it's very quick. And people feel you can play mridanga. What is the right process for learning mridanga? There are certain beats that have to be done. Yes? And then slowly as per those beats, when the tune changes, you change those beats and then adapt to different tunes. So what is the right method to learn the harmonium? You learn the basics of the harmonium and then you can adapt. But in our hurry to switch on the light with a switch, sometimes we also learn mridanga and harmonium that same way. What is the way the nature operates? How does Krishna's nature operates? The bud flowers in a moment. It's difficult for us to reply fast because we've never seen a bud flowering. This is one of the disadvantages of modern life. His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj in one of his classes was mentioning how all the analogies and all the examples in Srimad Bhagavatam are basically from nature. How does a lightning strike? So we don't see lightning now. He was saying how sometimes the moon is in the sky and the moon, if some mother wants to point out to the moon, then there's something called a Shakha Chandranaya, that the moon is visible between the two branches of a tree. So first the mother will say, do you see the tree? Yes. Now do you see the two branches? Yes. Now in between the two branches, do you see that white colored globe? Yes. That is the moon. But the moon is not between the two branches of the tree. The moon is somewhere far away. But that's how you point. Now if you tell this analogy to a modern child, he says, I don't know what a tree is basically. Yes. Because I only know trees that are artificial trees made up of lighting. And then the moon is not visible only. But there are so many tall skyscrapers all around. So the moon is not visible. So you were saying one of the difficulties that modern preachers will face in the preaching is all the analogies and all the shlokas in the Bhagavatam are to do with rural life. And the world as a unit is basically shifting to urban life. So some of the analogies will no longer be useful. Prabhupada would always give this example of a parampara that there's a red colored post box on the street. And you put your letter in the red colored post box and because it is part of the postal system, it reaches the office, the proper person. And you put that same letter in any other box on the street, it won't reach. Now if you give this analogy today, people will laugh on you. So where is the red colored post box? Everything is by email. So that analogy can no longer be given. So slowly all these analogies will shift. But the flower, the bud, it takes a good amount of time to actually open up and reveal its form, reveal its fragrance, reveal its fine colors. What about seeds sprouting? It takes something like 5 or 6 days for some seeds and something like 4 or 5 years for some seeds just to sprout, just to break ground above the ground. What about a small child growing? Recently I was talking to a father and his father has a 6 month young child. So this is the time when the teeth come. No, I don't have much experience of this, but he was saying that since the time the teeth have started to come out of the gums, saying the child is fully irritable, the child has stopped eating anything, and the child just keeps crying and crying and crying because there's a lot of pain, it seems, when the teeth come out. So then what to do? Mother and father don't know what to do, so they contacted a pediatrician. The pediatrician said, this whole cycle of the teeth coming out of the gums is very painful for the child, it's very irritating to the child, and all you can do is tolerate. Roughly that whole cycle is 7 to 8 days. So he's saying, just wait for 7 to 8 days, you cannot do much about it. Just be compassionate to the child, try to feed as much as, you know, liquid substances that are possible, and after 7 to 8 days, when the teeth finally break out of the gums, things will be normal. What can you do? That's how the nature works. So whether it is seeds sprouting, whether it is buds flowering, whether it is teeth coming out, the nature, the way the world works is a slow, gradual process. And the more we try to go away from this slow, gradual process, the more we will face problems. I have seen devotees, you know, they come to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and there's so much acceptance of Krishna. Yes? Oh, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's so sweet. He's so attractive. He's so benevolent. But do we accept all the teachings of Krishna? I have seen devotees, initiated devotees asking me, Prabhuji, Shraddha vagare jo hota hai, wo sahi hota hai kya? Is it actually true? And it's there in the scriptures. What does Krishna say? Yanti deva vratan devan. Pitrin yanti pitru vrataha. Pitrin means he's saying there are pitras. There is a pitra lok. It's right from the lotus mouth of the Supreme Lord. But still, when somebody tells it about Shraddha, this chanting, you know, it's easy. Nobody ever asks a question about prasad. Puji, prasad mein sahi mein potency hai kya? Prasad khane se sahi mein kuch badlav aata hai kya? All of us are testimony. You know, we eat prasad, we get transformed. The taste buds are fully satisfied, the stomach is satisfied, the spirit soul is satisfied, the mind is satisfied. But what about Shraddha? What about Pitri Niyanti Pitri Vrata? 8th chapter Krishna is saying. So many times, even after coming to Krishna consciousness, if this knowledge is not revealed to us in a sensitive way, in a gradual way, we might be calling ourselves devotees, but we do not accept all the teachings of Krishna. We still have doubts about Krishna. So, we have to be very careful that in a cave, there is two ways to bring light in a cave. One is, allow the gradual light of the sun to come in. Another is, you enter a cave which is dark, you light a matchstick. And the matchstick, it destroys the darkness in a moment. Yes? But then, it won't be gradual. And also, it does not last too long. So if the eyes are habituated to darkness in a cave and you suddenly light a matchstick, it will cause irritation to the eyes. So people, when you reveal knowledge to them, we have to be sensitive like the sun, we have to be sensitive like Krishna, we have to be sensitive like Prabhupada, and we have to be sensitive like his many followers. There is a very beautiful quote by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj saying, "The purpose of preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement is not to defeat people by logic and argument. Their only purpose is to inspire people to sincerely chant the holy names of the Lord." So we might argue, we might have arguments with people who oppose Krishna, but that's not the final purpose of the preachers. Finally, our success has to be gauged not by how many arguments we win. Our success has to be gauged by how many devotees have we inspired to take shelter of the Supreme Lord through His holy names, through His katha and so on. So, growth and progress are two different words. Sometimes we may be growing, but there may not be progress in our lives. We have to evaluate whether we are progressing in our maturity or are we progressing in our fanaticism. And there's so much to learn from our previous acharyas. So, as the sun rises, there is more and more light. Similarly, actually when sincere spiritual life is revealed slowly and gradually and maturely, there is an internal light inside. So, in the beginning days, when we come to spirituality, spirituality is all about rejection of whatever we learned before. Spirituality is a mere rejection of all our activities, all our habits, all our thoughts, everything that we stood for before we came to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness basically rubbing it out. Oh, I used to do this, rub it out. I used to think like this, rub it out. Slowly you understand, Krishna consciousness is beyond rejection of material life. Krishna consciousness is about purification of your existence. You purify your existence. Make yourself a better me. Check whether me today is better than me yesterday. Check whether me tomorrow will be better than me today. This is spirituality. Going deeper and deeper. Understanding your own concepts. Threadbare. What am I thinking? Even after coming to spiritual life, is there selfishness contaminating my thoughts? When I'm sitting in a japa circle, am I being sensitive to devotees around me who also need to chant their japa? Or is it that I'll chant my japa so loud just because finally it's about my japa, right? Mera japa to achche se hona chahiye. Aur bagal wale ka japa, uska japa, uska japa hai. That's his headache. No, that's not Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism is not just to care about Krishna and his holy names, it's also to care about the servants of Krishna. So, if my japa is disturbing somebody else, Vaishnavism is about lowering your voice and praying to Krishna, even though I'm lowering my voice, please do not take yourself away. I'm trying my best, but I also need to support my friends who are also struggling in their own japa. You know, recently there was this Kartik Yatra and I was returning from the Kartik Yatra. And I boarded the coach and then I saw there is a family of 20 Gujarati people around me. And somehow whenever I have traveled with Gujarati people around me, I have seen that they have a lot of love for Antakshari. I don't know if you have noticed this, but I have noticed this a lot. So this is roughly 10:30 in the morning when I board the train at Mathura. And they were going to get down at Vapi, which comes somewhere roughly at, you know, night time, 12 or 1 o'clock by that train. So, you know, they took some prasad at 10:30 and then the Antakshari started. Then I was singing it 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours. It has to end, right? But then there are 20 members of the same family, lot of affection for each other and also a lot of affection for Hindi film songs. So all the film songs that I had one point of time known, yes, and I had conveniently forgotten, all those film songs one by one were refreshed in my mind. So a point came, I said, is this going to stop or what? So I tried to, you know, request one of their members that, you know, ho gaya abhi kitna samay, 3 baj gaya dopahar ke, abhi sone ka samay hai, you know. Some reason, they said yes, yes, yes. And Antakshari goes on. I tried to give a stare to some of them. I said, come on, you know, not so loud. But then in 20 people, with, even they are singing at a low volume, still it's a high enough. Finally, you know, I'm turning around in my bed. I try to sleep. I take my bed sheet on me. I take some earpiece, I put them inside. But it goes on and on and on. Finally, I realized I can't change the situation. I tried changing the coach. But this is Diwali time, so the coach cannot be changed. All seats are full. Yes? Finally, what can be done? Yes? Then I realized their absorption in singing the film songs is much more than my absorption in chanting my japa or chanting my bhajans or reading my Bhagavatam. So it was not about the film songs and Vaishnava bhajans. It was about whose absorption is higher. At one point of time, I stopped all those external tactics, taking a bedsheet and this and that. Finally, I had to internalize or risk contaminating, remembering all the film songs, all the nasty film songs. So finally, at one point of time, I just prayed, went inside deeper, tried my best, my limited best, and started chanting japa, started reading books, tried to focus on the books. And believe me, that is what worked for me. So, somewhere we'll have to actually fight with our anartha. Somewhere we'll actually have to fight with what is going on around us. The situation is not going to change much. There has to be a lot of purification inside. One of the reasons why Krishna says, Arjun, you are a fit candidate to receive the Gita, is he calls him non-envious. He says, anasuyave. So, he's calling Arjun non-envious person. And who's calling Arjun non-envious person? Not you or me, not his friends, not his brother, it is the Supreme Lord who is seated in the heart. So when the Supreme Lord gives somebody a certificate, my dear Atma, my dear Jivatma, you are non-envious. Can you imagine how real it is? How bona fide it is? We may call each other non-envious, that does not have any meaning. The Supreme Lord is qualifying Arjun. And then in another shloka, 5th chapter, he says, Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha. One of the definitions of a devotee is sarva bhuta hite rataha. Sab jivatmao ke hit mein ye rath hai. And then the whole purpose of the Gita, if you see, is to make Arjun fight. Now these two concepts are super contradictory. If seen from a very physical perspective, how will you fight with somebody for whom you have no enmity? How will you fight with somebody for whom you have no envy? But Krishna is saying, my dear Arjun, you are non-envious. Then Arjun was saying, oh, thank you so much for your good compliment. Now I'll just sit. I'll enjoy the show. So no, you have to get up and fight. Okay, but then you also told me, sarva bhuta hite rata, to sarva bhut ki hit karni hai, to ladna thodi hai, jhagadna thodi hai, prem karna hai. But he's saying, you have to balance these two concepts. The point is, you have to take care of the disease without hating the diseased person. You have to go internal. Bahari taur se dekhenge, to you have to choose flip-flop, one or zero. Either you kill him or you don't kill him. And Krishna is saying, internally, be a well-wisher of all these people. And externally, you have to deal with the disease. And sometimes, the disease is not localized in a hand. The disease is not localized in your leg, where the leg can be amputated or the hand can be amputated. Sometimes, some diseases are so much spread, there is no part of the body which is not infected by the disease. What will you do? If there's a tumor somewhere And you take this principle, I hate the disease, but I do not hate the diseased. You can just carve out a small hole here and take out the tumor, because the tumor is localized. What if the tumor has spread to the whole body? What can you do? So Krishna is saying, you are non-envious. You remain sarva bhuta hite rataha. But at the same time, you will have to kill all these people. Why? We gave them a lot of chances. We told them, war is not necessary. They are super adamant. They're super adamant. We want a war. We want to destroy you. We will not give you little bit of land. So it seems the disease has spread everywhere. The disease of arrogance is not localized in the mouth now. The disease of arrogance has spread to the heart. And if that is where the disease is, then the heart has to be pierced. Then that person has to be killed. So now Arjun has to balance these two super contradictory concepts. How to be a well-wisher of somebody and fight with him with full vigor. And kill him in the battlefield. And this is what Krishna wants from all of us. Do the needful without contaminating the heart. Another story from Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada was attempted to being cheated in the Juhu land case. So there was this Mr. N who had already sold that land to a company C. And then later again resold that land to Srila Prabhupada. Thinking, this old man, he just keeps traveling all over the world, and in India, thus affairs are managed by foreigners, westerners. They don't know the laws of the land. So, you know, there's a nice conspiracy to cheating all these disciples. And Prabhupada had to really fight through lawyers, through his own relationship with the Supreme Lord, saying that, my dear Lord, I have already promised this land to you. And this person is snatching away the land from you. Please do not allow this. Please empower all these devotees to fight and reserve this land for you. So this is a big story. You can read in the Prabhupada Lilamrit. How so much cheating was there for the Juhu land. And after this whole thing, one day, this person who fought against, who cheated, tried to cheat Prabhupada, when he dies, some devotee comes to Prabhupada and says, Prabhupada, that person died yesterday in a heart attack. And Prabhupada revealed, I had prayed to Lord Narasimha Dev that please deal with this person. So it seems there was this medical analysis of his death, and they found out even though the chest, the ribs were intact, it seemed that somebody had caught hold of the heart of this person and punctured it. So now medically, from the perspective of anatomy, this is impossible. How can you reach the heart which is behind the ribs? But Prabhupada mentioned, I had prayed to Lord Narasimha Dev, please take care of this person, he is trying to cheat me. And this is what happened to him. And after this whole thing, one or two days later, the wife of this super big cheater comes to Prabhupada. Now she does not have her husband, she does not have a family, and that land which belonged to them has been now transferred to ISKCON. So what does she have now? So she comes to Prabhupada and says, I am sorry. I accept, we tried to cheat you. And what is Prabhupada's response? You read in the Prabhupada Lilamrit. Prabhupada says, don't worry, you are like my daughter. I will take care of you. And this is not a philosophical response coming in a letter form. She comes, she says, I am sorry, and Prabhupada, you are my daughter. Does a daughter ever try to kill or, you know, cheat the father? Does a son-in-law ever try to do this? Even if Prabhupada knows the entire truth and he fought for Shishi Radha Ras Bihari and he won the case, what is in the heart of Prabhupada? You are like my daughter. Ye to choti moti baatein chalti rehti hain. Aap agar meri sharan le rahe hain, to main aapki zarur, I'll take care of you. So this is the heart of a Vaishnava. This is what Prabhupada wants from us. How to be in this world but not absorb the dirtiness of this world. Lord Ramchandra, after he has killed Ravan, Vibhishan says, he's seen the whole thing. He's seen how this evil person kidnapped Sita using treachery. If he would have kidnapped Sita in the presence of Lord Ram, it made some sense. So first, he made Lord Ramchandra go somewhere else. Then that Marich also, you know, he cheats in such a way that Lakshman also has to leave. You know, one woman, so soft at heart, so compassionate at heart, and there is cheating, and that's how she's abducted. So Vibhishan has seen what all things have happened in Lanka also, and he's seen how Lankapati has done the wrong things. And then after he has been killed, Vibhishan says, Iska antim samskar main hi karunga. Aur koi bacha nahi na. Nobody else is remaining in that whole family to do the antim samskar of Ravan. Vibhishan says, this dirty person, he does not deserve to get a good destination. Antim samskar karke, you get a good destination. The kind of a rogue he was, he deserves to rot here. His body should rot here. What is Lord Ramchandra's reply? Read the Valmiki Ramayana. लॉर्ड रामचंद्र सेज वॉट एवर एनमिटी वॉज देयर हैज फिनिश्ड. अभी तो ये शरीर बाकी है ना. इस शरीर में थोड़ी कुछ एनमिटी है मेरे प्रति, इस शरीर में कुछ द्वेष है मेरे प्रति. वो तो व्यक्ति का था, वो व्यक्ति तो चला गया ना देह छोड़ के. सो आई वॉन्ट यू टू परफॉर्म द अंतिम संस्कार. एंड इफ यू रीड द संस्कृत श्लोका यथा त्वम तथा अहम, जस्ट लाइक यू आर डियर टू मी, सिमिलरली रावण इज ऑल्सो डियर टू मी. वेन आई रेड दिस आई वॉज थिंकिंग इज दिस रियल, इज दिस दिस पर्सन हैज ट्रबल्ड लॉर्ड रामचंद्र. यू सेपरेट द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड फ्रॉम हिज लादिनी पोटेंसी, यू कैनॉट डू दैट. वन टाइम वी आर ड्रेसिंग द डीटीज, राधा गोपीचंद वल्लभ ऑन द ऑल्टर, एंड आफ्टर ड्रेसिंग द डीटीज वी पुट देम अप. सो राधा गोपीचंद वल्लभ आर ड्रेस्ड बाय कीपिंग देम ऑन अ टेबल ऑन द ग्राउंड. There are pujaris up there performing deity worship to Radha Gopinath. And after we dressed Radha Gopijan Vallabh, we kept them back on the table where they are usually there standing. And there was some distance between Radharani and Gopijan Vallabh. And immediately the pujari chastised me. He said, do not keep Radha and Gopijan Vallabh too far away. There's a specific distance by where you have to keep. If you keep them far away, it's like you're separating them. It's very, very nasty. You can never separate Radha and Krishna. You can never separate Sita and Ram. You can never separate Rukmini and Dwarkadesh. You can never separate Lakshmi and Narayan. So it hit me that so much deities. And you know, I'm keeping them a little bit far away. There's no feeling in my heart. But the pujari told me, Prabhu, don't do this ever. You have to keep Radha, Gopij and Vallabh at a certain proximity to each other. Then I realized, can you imagine Ravan willingly separating Sita and Ram, not for fun. He wants to enjoy Sita separately. And he's terrorizing her every day. Through himself, through Rakshasis. Can you imagine the offense? How much it must have hurt Lord Ramchandra? 4 months Lord Ramchandra is chanting the names of Sita Devi. When will I see Sita Devi? When will I see Sita Devi? And Sita Devi in Ashoka one, the one is Ashoka, but actually she is in the greatest Shoka. Jaise, you know, we hear that Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha is a place where there is no distress, but he is in Kuntha. That means he really seriously did a mistake. How can you be in Kuntha in Vaikuntha? Similarly, Sita Devi is in Shoka in Ashoka one. Why? Because of Ravan. And that Ravan, after he dies, Lord Ramchandra, very, very generously, he says, you perform antim samskar of him. This shows our culture is not of cowardice. Our culture is not to keep quiet and turn your eyes blind to whatever is happening. We have to deal and we have to do the necessary, but with zero malice in the heart and with feelings of goodwill for the person with whom you are dealing. Some devotees also met me in the morning and they said that, you know, would you like to also speak something about New Year resolutions? This always that air around on 1st of January. So continuing with this theme, I have come across devotees who have taken New Year resolutions. They plan those New Year resolutions on 31st and say from 1st of Jan I'll implement it. And then many times I've come across people that after 4 or 5 days they give it up. And they say it's too difficult for me, it will not be possible. Yes. So imagine somebody who has the latest phone. I see advertisements of phones with 3 cameras behind. And the whole, the USP, the unique selling proposition of all these phones is they don't talk about the voice quality. Interestingly, you know, the days are long gone when you used to sell a phone based on the voice quality of the calls that you made using the phone. Now the phone is sold by how much MP is the camera. So actually they should rename the phone as a photo clicking or a video shooting instrument that can also make calls. It's no longer an instrument that can make calls and can also simultaneously click photos and take videos. So imagine somebody gets excited by these advertisements and purchases a phone for thousands of rupees. And meanwhile, he has no training in shooting properly, clicking photographs properly. What is the angle at which you should click? What is the lighting arrangement? So all these very beautiful photographs that we see in magazines, newspapers and everywhere, including television ads, there is a science of lighting. Where should the light be? At what angle should the light be? Every single photograph of a car, if you have seen any of those advertisements, you will see how, take my word for it, half of the car is dark in the front and rest half of the car is brightly lit. Check it out in the next advertisement. Lakhs of rupees are spent on the proper lighting and the color backdrop for a particular color of a product that you are selling. This is the science of photography. Now imagine somebody without understanding the science, without having the necessary skills, purchases the best instrument. What will he do with it? How many good photographs will come with it? So this human form of life is the best instrument that is given to us by Krishna to improve our lives, to contribute to others' lives, and to also reach back home, back to Godhead. So we have the best phone, so to say. But who has undergone training to use this phone properly? So any sane person will say, Prabhuji, are you against purchasing costly phones? Not at all. You purchase the best phones that you can afford, but also read a book or two on how to click beautiful photographs that are really impressive. Similarly, we are not against using this human form of life. We are saying, please learn how to use this human form of life for benefiting yourself. Otherwise, many of us are using this human form of life for troubling ourselves, for troubling people around us, for troubling and destroying the environment around us. So New Year resolutions is not just about reading this book and, you know, purchasing something or sometimes going to a vacation or something. New Year resolution should be, am I going to conquer my anger a little bit? Am I going to be a better person a little bit? My arrogance that is rising with every bit of money that I'm earning, with every single like that I get on WhatsApp or Facebook, my arrogance is rising every day. Am I going to reduce my arrogance a little bit? So we were talking with one devotee and he was saying how I need to lose weight. And I was telling him, so what is your plan? So he told me, from tomorrow onwards, no more rice. So I said, okay, is that going to work? He thought over it for 2 minutes and then he said, most probably it will not work. Why? Because I'm an avid rice lover. You're a rice lover one day, 31st of December, and first January you are saying, now I'm going to not eat rice. Is it going to work? Are you trying to impress people or are you really trying to benefit yourself? So this sounds very good. Mujhe na ye cheez bahut achhi lagti hai. Kal se puri band. Kitne dino ke liye? 4 dino ke liye. Aur jo 5ve din itni khayenge, ye 4 ke dugna khayenge. So the point that we mentioned to him is, do this one thing. How many chapatis do you eat? So he told me 4 chapatis. I said, tomorrow onwards, eat 3.5 chapatis. How many rice bowls do you eat? He said, 2 bowls. I said, from tomorrow onwards, eat 1.5 bowl. That's doable. After 1 month of eating half a bowl of rice less and half a chapati less, you know, your appetite goes a little bit down. The next month, increase it by another half a chapati and increase it by another half a bowl of rice. This is doable, is it not? One of my friend devotees, the Grihastha, he told me, Prabhuji, I have realized that if you don't chant in the morning time, you know, roughly the whole day chanting is basically a fight. You know, it's just an attempt to finish off the rounds. It's not anything to do with chanting the holy names. So what should I do? So you tell me. Then he told me, I want to get up early. What time? He told me, 4 o'clock. So okay, very nice. That sounds very good and attractive. What time do you get up now? He told me 7:30. What do you think was my response? I had a hearty laugh. I said, 7:30 to 4, are you cracking a joke or something? Aisa hota hai kya? Kitne dino ke liye karenge? 3 dino ke liye, 4 dino ke baad mein bimar padenge. 4 days no, not going to office. Finally again, 8 baje uthenge phir. Bimar tha na Prabhuji. Energy nahi hai kuch body mein. I told him, 7:30 now, tomorrow onwards wake up at 7 o'clock. Half an hour is doable. 2 months, wake up at 7 o'clock. Half an hour early. When it sets in, then you wake up at 6:30, then 6, then 5:30, then, and you know, do it properly. Don't try to impress people around you. Try to do it sincerely and seriously if you're really trying to benefit yourself. So gradually if you do it, it helps. Sometimes, you know, we feel that all the books are one and the same. Prabhupada has written. I was listening to a class by Prabhupada, and in this class Prabhupada says, now we are coming out with Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is a postgraduate study of Krishna consciousness. And the next line he says, of course the Bhagavad Gita is there, but Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary study. Now how can Gita, spoken by the Supreme Lord, be a preliminary study? And how can Bhagavatam be a graduate study? And how can Chaitanya Charitamrita be a postgraduate study? This content. So if you really want to benefit, and if I give a Chaitanya Charitamrita to a newcomer, in one sense, you know, I am saying, sweet gulab jamun, you taste from this side, you taste from that side, it is the same. That long gulab jamun, there's a different gulab jamun, long shape, not the round one. Idhar se khaiye, gulab jamun hai. Lekin, if you give it in a gradual way, if you first teach him the Gita, then teach him the Bhagavatam, then teach him the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Will it help? Prabhupada would so many times say, don't jump to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam because it is very esoteric subject matter. Start from the first canto. Why? Why is it? Within the Bhagavatam, there is a gradual. Within the Gita, we spoke about three levels at which Krishna is speaking. Within all the books of Prabhupada, there is a gradual. So Prabhupada is teaching us, if you are really serious about your growth, if you are really serious about your development as a devotee, you will have to go step by step. And that is the sensitivity of the sun. That is the sensitivity which is mentioned in today's shloka. We were talking about another devotee and he was saying, Prabhuji, I want to chant 16 rounds. I said, how many rounds are you chanting today? He said, I'm chanting 4 rounds. I told him, every Ekadashi, increase your chanting by 2 rounds. Don't jump to 16 rounds suddenly, it won't last for long. 15 days, every 15 days, one Ekadashi and 2 rounds, it sets in, is it not? So this training is something which is very important. And one good New Year resolution that can be a very effective one is, this year, let me spend some time with the Supreme Lord. What do you like? You like Kirtan? Say, every day in the morning, 15 minutes I will listen to Kirtan. What do you like? You like Japa? You say, 15 minutes I am going to chant the holy names slowly, clearly, pronouncing it. Maybe it is not possible to chant all the 16 rounds like this because of my heavy schedule. 2 rounds can we chant? 15 minutes can we chant? Nicely, prayerfully, pronouncing it clearly. Step by step, there is a long way to go. Is it not? What do you like? You like Bhagavatam? Read one shloka of the Bhagavatam every day. 18,000 shlokas roughly. Lifetime to read. So there is no force and there is no pressure and nobody is asking you, have you read the Bhagavatam in 1 month or something? Is it not? But my point is, we are so much into flip-flop. Ek to padhte hain to din bhar padhenge. Aur fir ek mahina tanga jayenge. There is no taste. One day we will chant 64 rounds and then we become so exhausted. Next day 16 rounds also we chant slowly. Next day 16 rounds also we chant tirefully. Instead of that, invest your consciousness in chanting. Invest your consciousness in reading. Invest your consciousness in Vaishnava Sangha. Many of us are leading so busy lifestyles. When we sit with our friends, we are not sitting there. Just spend time with friends. Just spend time with Vaishnava friends. What's happening in your life? What are you doing recently? Which book are you reading recently? Would you like to share something with me? So a good New Year resolution is something to do with purification of yourself. And how will that purification happen? Not without contact with the Supreme Pure. Arjuna is such a skillful person and he has raised the bow in the first chapter of the Gita. Yes? All ready to fight. And then when he sees the situation in front of him, that person who lifted the bow keeps that bow down. And he says, actually I do not know how to use this in this situation. By contact with Krishna through his instructions. Simple instructions. Simple instructions. This is what is right, this is what is wrong. If you do this, I will be pleased. If you do this, it will hurt you later. Simple instructions Krishna gives. Again he picks up the bow and again he fights. Is it not? Similarly, we make a resolution. That's like picking up a bow. And then we see the situation. 1st of January. Bhaap re, this resolution is difficult to do. 2nd January. Bhishma rises. Kripacharya rises. Dronacharya rises. Finally 5th of Jan, 6th of Jan, we keep our bow down. वो डायरी जिसमें रेजोल्यूशंस लिखे उसको ही छुपा देते हैं. बोला नो रेजोल्यूशन, नो डायरी, नो नथिंग. एंड व्हाट डिड अर्जुन डू? अर्जुन पिक्ड अप हिज बॉ, ही केप्ट इट डाउन. बट व्हेन ही केप्ट इट डाउन, ही अप्रोच कृष्णा. कृष्णा, आई वांट टू पिक अप द बॉ, ऑन माय ओन आई कैनॉट पिक अप द बॉ, प्लीज हेल्प मी. एंड कृष्णा सेज, इफ यू रियली वॉन्ट हेल्प फ्रॉम मी, आई एम ऑलवेज देयर फॉर एनी वन एंड एवरी वन. So all of us have raised our bow of resolutions to do something great in our lives on 31st. Today is 1st of Jan, so all of you are looking very enthusiastic. Ask this question to yourself 1 week later. Next Wednesday. How is my New Year resolution doing? And if you feel the bow is becoming very heavy, thoda Gandhi vam saramsate hasta, thoda niche rakh deta hu, ye New resolution jyada hi le liya, take help from Krishna. And Krishna can guide you through his holy names, through the Bhagavatam, through the Gita, through his Vaishnavas, through the Guru, through the deities. Come and pray here and make sure that the bow can again be lifted. Yes? So everything is doable if we have the proper training, if we have the proper understanding, and if it is done gradually with a sincere intent in the heart. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to
speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are going through a very philosophical section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Sankhya philosophy. And today it was mentioned, just as the brilliant sun removes all darkness from the sky, a clear understanding of the knowledge spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava removes all ignorance concocted by the material mind. So clear understanding if we get, gradual understanding if we get, nice explained understanding if we get, will be maturity inside. And with that maturity, with the blessings of Krishna, I am sure we can conquer all the obstacles in our path. And hope to see you next year on 1st of January with happiness on your face, saying that Prabhuji, resolutions to bahut kiye, lekin Bhagwan ki sharan bhi li, Hari naam ki sharan bhi li. So I am happy that I could execute all those New Year resolutions. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari. So Mataji has a question. The class has ended. Those who want to stay back, they can stay back. Yeah, microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Actually, when Mataji told me to ask you this question, this is not my question. Actually, a devotee, if he is in the highest stage of Krishna consciousness, like from so many years chanting and everything he's doing, he or she, you know, so, but that person is not following the regulative principles now. But like after 20, 30 years, but he's breaking that regulative principles. Then what a new resolution he should do, or that person should do to follow the, like, because so many devotees, like he inspired so many devotees, but now he's like doing that thing that other people, like that following that person. So like they feel like disappointed by that. Seeing that, what that person, that other devotee should do, and that person who is breaking the regulative principles, what he should do or she should do.
So, serious question. As a friend, if I had a friend who's a senior devotee, who's considered and respected and not able to follow, I would have had a lot of, you know, compassion on him. Here is a warrior who's fought with Maya Devi for a long number of years. And sometimes what happens is, in a war, there are many wounds, is it not? Because Maya Devi is active 24/7. We sometimes sleep, but Maya Devi does not sleep. So there's so much attacks going on at the consciousness level. Every word that is printed in a newspaper is basically to enjoy life. The sound vibration that is going on in the form of songs, in the form of, you know, videos on YouTube and everything, is how to enjoy the body. So here is a person who's fighting, and one day that wound, you know, it is so heavy that sometimes he can sit down and he can think, what can I do? Yes. So I'll tell you a story of one sannyasi in ISKCON. I cannot tell you the name. And this very honorable and very respectable sannyasi was in China. And one day, late night, he's returning to his place from some program. And because China is a place where spirituality is not allowed, religion is not allowed, it's communist. So he is not wearing saffron clothes. He's wearing typical Western clothes. So he's very handsome to look at, and he's very beautiful to look at. And roughly 10:30 in China, somewhere he's returning. A group of 5 to 6 girls, they attacked him. Now the word attacked, you should understand what happens. I cannot give you details, but they attacked him. And the sannyasi writes, I did not know what to do. You know what he did? He just raised his hands and, you know, pushed them and just ran. So his age is 60, 65 something. And that's not an age to run. But, you know, all these crazy things are happening. Why would young girls attack a handsome man, even if they don't know that he's a sannyasi? 60, 65 years age. So he's not very young to look at. You know, he has wrinkles. But that's fun. Sometimes that's how the world is. So he said, he just started loudly chanting Narasimha mantras. I said, my dear Lord Narasimha, please protect me. He ran away from there. So I was just thinking, you know, what if this sannyasi was 75? What if this sannyasi was 80? And these kind of things are happening. So should he preach or should he not preach? So on one side, Lord Nityanand is saying, go out and preach. Lord Chaitanya is saying, Prithivite achyata nagaradigrama sarvatra prachar. Sarvatra. So China is also included.
And he's going as a representative of Lord Nityananda. He's attacked. Yes. So I honestly feel preachers who are fighting will be attacked. And if some preacher feels I will not be attacked, that is his illusion. Can I tell you my personal story? Many times I travel outside Bombay for preaching. One time I boarded a train at Dadar, roughly 11:15. And there was this young couple who also boarded a train. So usually I take the topmost seat in a train. Because I quickly go there, I take a bed sheet and go to sleep. I don't know what's happening around. Because people come, they have their dinner late and they keep chatting and this and that. So a young Punjabi couple, they also boarded the train. And, you know, I'm sleeping, trying to sleep. And then, you know, the TC comes. And the TC asks me for my ticket and I show my ticket. And that is the time when I found that on the other side, yes, so there are two berths. One is the top one and one is the middle one. So this couple, both of them had booked two seats. And the middle berth is empty. You know what it means? Both of them are on the topmost berth, on the same berth, with a bed sheet. And I'm there next to them, on the other side. What will you do? Now should I get down from the train and tell the people where I was traveling to, I'm not coming? Cancel the program. I can't do that. There are many devotees waiting for that program. And I'm there, and these two people are there having a lot of fun there. So I just, you know, turned to the other side, the wall side. I took the bed sheet on top of me. I prayed to Lord Narasimhadev. My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I am not traveling for fun. Wherever I am going, I am not going as a tourist to click pictures of the sunset and sunrise. I am going there to teach them Bhagavad Gita. So if you want the message to be spread, please save me. I just put it on Lord Narasimhadev. I slept in 5 minutes. Later at Pune, you know, the train stopped. Again I awoke and I saw that both of the seats were empty. They got down at Pune. I am still here with you in this Bhagavatam class. So what I am saying is, if you are a preacher, if you are going out of your safety zone, those who cannot handle this should stay in the temple. They should do nice deity worship on the altar. And do programs that are safe, you know, where the crowd is predictable. You understand nobody is going to ask strange questions to agitate you. But people who are doing outreach, people who are doing programs outside the safety of the temple, please accept this as part of life. This is what is going on in the outside world. It is we who are leaving the temple and going outside to preach. There's no invitation from anybody for me to preach. It's my desire. It's Prabhupada's desire. So we are trying to serve in the course of doing this. If there is an attack and I'm all alone, what do you expect? I'm not even pure like Prabhupada. Yes? So I feel, you know, we need to have more compassion on preachers. Those who are refusing to stay safe in a very super safe environment and risking their consciousness to go out and preach. And I feel, you know, by being kind on them, I'm not saying neglect this problem. Go to that person as a friend and say, my dear Prabhu, my dear friend, I saw that some principles are not being followed. I am here to help you unconditionally. I won't talk about this to anybody, but please don't refuse that this is a problem because I saw you doing this and this. I am your friend. You tell me what help do you require. I'll come and chant with you every day. I'll come and read the Bhagavad for you every day. I'll do this for you every day. So we have to extend ourselves to the warriors. Sena jab ladti hai border pe, to zakham to hone wale hai. When they come back with those wounds, if you tell them, you got wounded? Your clothes are dirty with blood, get lost. You say, you know how I got this blood on my clothes? I was fighting for you. So I feel any devotee who's given his life for Prabhupada, who's really a strong warrior, needs a lot of help and care and concern. Definitely not neglect. Definitely not criticism. Definitely not send him outside the community. He's broken the regulative principle. How did he break? In the course of fighting for Prabhupada, is it not? So I feel, you know, as a friend, we must extend ourselves to every devotee who's preaching. Everyone needs care, Mataji. And the preachers also need care. The preachers are traveling all alone. And sometimes when somebody is traveling all alone, I have heard devotees commenting, he's just going on a traveling tour. He's going for traveling. Some words that are used, I cannot use on the mic here. But sometimes, you know, if devotees are preaching, they are seen as, there are people who are just, you know, they just keep traveling all around. They're just having good food and good fun outside the temple. Try it out. Try preaching in a place where there's no temple. Try preaching in a place where there's no established devotee community. And then check it out how easy it is. So, to sum it up, I feel A neophyte devotee needs care and a senior devotee needs more care. Sometimes we feel senior devotees don't need care. Senior devotees are the ones who should guide others. Yes. Primarily their service is to guide others. But senior devotees should care for equal senior devotees. And if senior devotees don't care for senior devotees, those senior devotees will have a lot of struggles in their life and there is always a danger of not being able to do what is expected from them. So International Society for Krishna Consciousness recently, 2 years back, they started a Sannyasi Sangha. We have a get-together of brahmacharis, we have a get-together of grihasthas, we have yatras. They realized every single sannyasi in ISKCON is all alone. So they also need to spend time with each other. So there's a 3-day ISKCON sannyasi sangha. So where sannyasis were taking risks, they spend time with each other and they nourish each other and they feel protected in each other's company. And one sannyasi can talk very freely without the fear of being judged. If I tell him my struggles, you know, he will judge me. No, that fear has to be removed. So we have to have nice friendship with equal devotees that if I have a problem and if I reveal that problem, my struggle to somebody, I will not be judged. Instead, I will receive care and compassion and I will receive encouragement. This is my answer to this. We have to extend ourselves to every single devotee. What is that? I am not able to hear you.
Those who are following, other devotees have to understand.
I would say, I have to understand. It starts with me. I have to understand. I have to extend myself. And if I see some devotees being lonely nowadays. Sometimes we see devotees who don't come regularly to programs.
Very true.
Yeah. So I have seen devotees saying, "Aajkal ye bhakt abhi program mein nahi aata hai." Why is he not coming? You have to ask him. Instead of judging him and saying, "Oh, abhi mujhe malum hai," now he thinks himself a senior devotee, that's why he stopped coming to. I have to go over to the devotee's home, sit with him and tell him, "Prabhu, I got some special Mahaprasad for you. By the way, I did not see you coming for the programs regularly for the 6 months. Is there something that you want to share with me?" Why would we judge devotees when they fall short of the expectations? Why would we not help devotees when they fall short of the expectations?
Prabhuji, devotees like who are preaching, they have a limited energy, na? Actually, devotees like they are preaching to one place. After that, they go to other place. Then another place. Then their energy is limited. They can't see everybody.
I'll tell you something. If it's an energy problem, we have to reduce our programs. Don't preach in 7 places. But preach in one place and actually nourish the people there. What is the point in touching 7 places and none of them are nourished? Sit there, give your time to them, give your guidance to them, help them, support them, motivate them, inspire them. I feel that is the right way. In the name of being busy, I cannot neglect my duties towards my equals and towards my friends in Krishna consciousness. I am giving so much importance to my duties as a preacher to people who are not in Krishna consciousness. What about my duties towards my friends who are in Krishna consciousness? So, jinhone apna jeevan samarpit nahi kiya hai, unke liye mere paas samay hai. Aur jinhone apna jeevan samarpit kiya hai, unke liye main samay nahi dunga. What is this mathematics? Why am I not ready to give my time to those who are already surrendered to Krishna in the name of giving my time to those who have not yet decided to surrender to Krishna? Are they not important? Yeah. So we'll have to have a paradigm change and we have to extend ourselves to devotees around. Okay, thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.